Hi, Larry. One of the things I really like about the podcast is that you don't stick on one subject. Blind Cool Tech covers all kinds of neat technology. This is Debbie Norling from California, and one of the cool things I've been doing the last couple years is cooking with just the heat of the sun. So I thought I'd chat with your listeners today about solar cooking. How I got into it, well, it was Field Day that did it. Now, I'm very active in ham radio. And in ham radio, we have this event every year called Field Day. The way that works is that we're supposed to demonstrate our emergency preparedness skills for the local community. So all of us geeky hams get out in the field. We're using emergency power only, batteries, solar panels, no mains power, no city power. And we try on the summer solstice to contact as many people as possible in 24 hours. Well, that is very, very geeky, and I don't think it really demonstrates emergency preparedness to the community because they just see all these hams shouting into their radios, and they don't get that we really could help them in an emergency. So I wanted to come up with a demonstration that was closer to home for most people. A couple of years ago, also, I am the only person in our club with an advanced class radio amateur license. And I'm the only female and the only handicapped person. And I had been running our HF station for a long time, and I was sick and tired of it. And I thought, well, I'll let the boys play with the radio, and I'll use my girly prerogative and do something female. I'm going to cook for Field Day this year. And so I started researching solar cooking. I went to www.solarcooking.org, which is the best site on the internet for this topic. And I'll tell you what I learned and what I've been up to. A little bit of the history of solar cooking first. I guess there was some scattered attempts to practice it when people really didn't have enough scientific background back in the 17th, 18th, and the 19th centuries. But solar cooking didn't really get going until the 20th century and the second half of the 20th century, really. You have a lot of very poor people in third world countries, and they are in the same situation that our Katrina victims were in. They're in the same situation that anybody after a California earthquake would be in. In fact, they are in the same situation as would anybody in a modern country in a serious emergency be. There has been so much deforestation that there's very little fuel, and in these third world countries, in many parts of South America and in Africa, people need to literally travel for hours every day to get enough firewood to cook a single meal. So there is a great fuel scarcity due to deforestation. They have the hot sun blazing down, but they have no power and they have no fuel. And the professionals have stepped in with a lot of scientific background to come up with very expensive solar cooking solutions. And I'll be talking about professional solar cooking versus amateur solar cooking. It's a little bit like radio. Now, in radio, you have professional broadcasters, and then you have hams. Well, I'm kind of a solar ham. But to help you understand this, so when you're Googling around, you'll know what's pro and what's amateur, let's first talk a bit about the professional solar cookers. They can cost up to $12,000. They are made of wood, metal, and glass. Usually the sides of the cooker are wood. There's a black bottom to many of these cookers that is metal. And the top part that brings in the sun's energy is just like a window. It's all glass. Also, many of the expensive solar cookers are parabolic mirrors. Now, this is a big cone-shaped affair, and it works on the same principle that you remember from Boy Scouts, perhaps. As a scout, you took a little magnifying glass, and you captured the energy of the sun, and you shone that energy down onto a little piece of paper, and you could get it to catch on fire in 3 seconds or less. Well, a parabolic mirror is just a bigger version of that. It points at the sun, it concentrates the sun's energy down to one very small, very hot point. And that hot point can be up to 1200 degrees Fahrenheit. It's really hot. And they pipe that through a pipe, usually inside a knothole, into a building. And an expensive professional solar stove is connected to that pipe. And so the hot point can be set under a pot. Less professional but still expensive solar cookers with parabolic mirrors have these big tippy mirrors that are sitting upright somewhere, and the hot point may be a couple of feet away, and then people very carefully position pots under that little point of high solar energy to cook their food. Well, this is super dangerous. You don't have to be a blind person to figure out how dangerous this is. And it's also professional. It's the expensive and really less reliable way to do solar cooking. It's been picked up, the parabolic method has been picked up by a lot of yuppies, a lot of university scientists, back to the land people. And it has been used to feed thousands of people. Some of these solar stoves can feed 7,000 people in one day. I know there's a Swiss model that can do that. And so there have been yuppies that have gone to third world countries and they've set up these mass feeding stations using parabolic solar cookers. Okay, now that you know what that is, I'm going to tell you that's not the way I do solar cooking. It's too gosh darn dangerous and it's too expensive. I'm an amateur solar cook and I use a solar panel cooker. The two amateur methods are to use a panel cooker or a solar box cooker. Both of these cookers are made out of foil, cardboard, and oven baking bags. So you just basically have to save all your cardboard, get a roll of aluminum foil, good old Reynolds wrap will do just fine, and a couple of oven baking bags. You can buy them at the store. They're for baking roasts in your oven. And here's how it works. I'll talk to you about my panel cooker first. This is a large piece of cardboard that's been covered with foil. It's roughly elliptical in shape. They can be from 2 to 5 feet across. Mine's about 4 feet across. And I spread that out in the sun. And so it is radiating all the sun's energy because it is covered with foil. And what that means is it doesn't get hot at all. Even in very bright sun, it is cool to the touch. The foil is positioned so that it is reflecting, the shiny side is up. In the center of my panel cooker, I have placed a black pot. I bought this pot at a thrift store. People have also taken mason jars and painted them black. They've done all kinds of things. But it's just as easy to get a black pot at a thrift store with a tight-fitting lid. And then in that pot, I have whatever I'm cooking, just as if I were cooking in a crock pot. Say water and rice or water and a baked potato. And I position the pot on top of an oven, a rack, like one of those cake racks that has a couple of little legs. And the reason you're using a rack is so that you'll have air circulation around all six sides of that pot. And then I put the whole shebang, the pot and the rack, inside an oven cooking bag, and I secure it very tightly with a twist tie. So here's what we've got. We've got the panel cooker ellipse laying there out in the sun, reflecting all that great solar energy. And all that solar energy is being reflected onto the black pot, which is inside the oven cooking bag. And once again, you can see how to do this by going to www.solarcooking.org. Let me tell you a little bit about the box cookers, which are also very, very popular. Basically, they're two cardboard boxes, one inside the other. The reason they're inside the other is for air circulation and insulation. You just basically take two boxes. One is smaller than the other. Inside the inner box, you have to paint the inner box black inside, and you leave it open to the sun, but you cover the top of it with a makeshift lid, and you usually make that makeshift lid out of a cardboard square that has its center cut out and filled with either glass or plexiglass, or you could just duct tape a big oven cooking bag there in the center. You can even duct tape yourself a little hinge so that the lid opens and closes so that it's easy to remove your black pot. And your ubiquitous black pot or black mason jar or whatever black cooking vessel you decide sits on a rock or on a little rack inside your black oven, quote, cardboard box oven. And the sun beats down on the glass lid. It's a little bit like a cold frame, only because everything is black and because everything stays closed up, it gets very hot. Now, these solar box cookers get to be 250 degrees Fahrenheit inside. They don't get hotter than that. And they have to be at least 2 feet across. The solar panel cookers will get up to 300 degrees Fahrenheit inside the cooking vessel. And they do best if they're 3 feet across, though. I've seen ones that are 2 feet across. What do you cook in these things? Well, when you're getting started, you want to cook stuff that's not going to give you food poisoning. When you're doing a demonstration for the public, if you have little kids, hot dogs are good, potatoes are good, rice are good, heating up canned soups. Grilled cheese sandwiches are great. You can take a pizza box, cut out the lid, just leave a little frame and fill that lid where the top of the lid used to be with a big window made out of an oven cooking bag that you've duct taped into place. And of course you paint the inside of the pizza box black and you can spread out grilled cheese sandwiches there. So there's a lot of different foods you can cook. It is a lot like crock pot cooking or cooking in one of those easy bake ovens. Again, you're not going to get over 300 degrees, so it's perfectly safe for a child, a senior, a handicapped person. It's a great elementary school science fair project. But you want to start out with food that is not going to give you food poisoning until you learn your own area's cooking conditions. What I made that day on field day was chili. And I cooked the hamburger ahead of time. In a true emergency, I wouldn't be able to do that, of course, but then I probably wouldn't have hamburger. I just have cans. But I pre-cooked the hamburger, and I used canned beans and canned sauce, everything, so that it would be somewhat loaded with preservatives because I wasn't positive we weren't going to have clouds on field day. If the clouds had come in, I was all ready with newspaper to pack newspaper in around my black pot. Remember, it doesn't get more than 300 degrees Fahrenheit, so there's no danger of the newspaper catching on fire. You have to be up to 451 degrees Fahrenheit to ignite paper. People use hay, blankets, pillows, mattresses, whatever, so the cushions. So when the clouds come in, they have all that stuff ready to insulate their pot, and then they just wait for the sun to come out. There are quite a few organizations like solarcooking.org, which goes out to the third world countries and shows people how to use their own indigenous materials to create amateur solar panel and box cookers. They make them with clay. You do have to have plastic or glass, and you do have to have a black cooking vessel, but the sides do not have to be foil and cardboard. That's just one of the cheapest materials we have here in the United States. Now, to build one, you have several options. You can go the easy way like I did. I went to solarcooking.org and I just bought a pre-made kit. It was called the Cookit, C-O-O-K-I-T. This is a pre-made solar cooker. It's just flat, and all I had to do was bend the sides up and fasten them together like a birthday card. And it was all ready to cook with. And I went to the thrift store and got my own pot, and I went to the grocery store and got my own oven baking bag. You can also buy box cooker kits that are basically just foil and cardboard. My panel cook kit was a little fancier. My Cookit cost me $20, and instead of foil, it was that kind of space blanket mylar material covered the cardboard. And this benefits a good cause. It helps the Solar Cookers International go out to third world countries and teach people how to not rely on fuel in order to cook their food. You can also go to solarcooking.org and download the plans. They have everything you need in those plans, including drawings that you print and you glue onto cardboard, and then you use scissors and cut out the proper shapes to build either the foldable family panel or the solar box cooker. And in either case, you will need sighted help, perhaps if you have a local Boy Scout or any child in the fifth grade or above probably could help you build this kit. It's very simple. You just need scissors. You need to be able to cut on the dotted lines. So if you do have sighted help but not a lot of money, that's one way to go. But for $20, you can get a pre-assembled kit that is really easy to put together. And I didn't even need really anyone to just read the directions. It was really self-evident how to do it. And I'm not that mechanical. Another thing you can do is you can buy commercial solar cookers that are built on the panel or box concept. One of my favorite ones is called the Cooksack, C-O-O-K-S-A-C. You can find it on the internet by Googling for Cooksack. It's about $50. It's about 10 ounces. It's made all out of Mylar, and it's designed for backpackers. And it's just a little bit different shape, but it expands out and you put a black pot in the center, and you don't need to carry a cook stove on your camping trips. You can do everything with the energy of the sun. So solar cooking is very fun. It makes a wonderful demonstration or science fair project. It's perfectly safe for a blind person if you don't have a problem handling boiling water in your microwave or in a crock pot. It just doesn't get any hotter than that. There is no open flame. So it's fun, it's safe. Oh, I know what else I need to tell you. I need to tell you how long it takes. You have to start in the morning when the sun comes up, and your food will basically be cooked either by lunchtime or by evening, depending on what you're cooking. Now, my grilled cheese sandwich probably will take a couple hours. If I were cooking the chili, I would start at, say, 8 a.m. when my sun is up, and it would probably be done around 5:30. So it does take a little while. The panel cookers, you have to keep positioning them so that they're facing the sun. They're much more sensitive to the sun position. So you have to keep rushing out there and moving the cooker a little bit so it's pointing at the sun. You don't need to see to do this. If you can't feel any heat from the sun, then it's not hot enough to be cooking your food anyway. The box cookers can be left unattended for longer periods. They may just have to be moved a little bit at midday. And that's another reason. The box cookers, they're less finicky about the sun position, but they just don't get quite as hot as the panel cookers. So your typical cook day is get all your stuff ready the night before, have it in the fridge. When the sun comes up, run out there and put your pot straight from the fridge into your solar cooker. Every couple of hours, check it, make sure there's still sun and it's still pointing at the sun. If you have a sighted person who can look out the window, even better, but if not, go out there and check it yourself. And then at about dinner time, dinner is ready. There are lots of solar recipes on the web. Go to www.solarcooking.org to learn more, or Google around. You'll read more about it than you ever thought possible. Larry, thanks a lot for letting me chat with everyone today.